Alo? İtibar diyor lan. Because it's hot. Roasting here, baby. Please. I can't hear you. Something tastes good? Peki ya. You're looking like a thief in your own house. Can you hear me? Are you muted? You muted? Still muted.
Why? No, I'm muted.
I might be muted too, Hold on 1 second. Hold on.
Yeah.
Let's see if I could sh move things around a little bit.
Where's everybody?
Hello?
Where's everyone?
Hey.
You can hear me?
Yeah, I was telling you you're muted just now. I couldn't hear you just now, but I hear you now.
Where's everyone?
Ain't nobody showing up these days. Everybody busting it. Hold on 1 second. Let me see.
Why is this thing not charging? Shit.
I can hardly hear you, Avalon. I can hear myself.
Let me get on this charger. I'm not working.
Hold on, hold on. Let's move it.
I'm coming. I'm coming.
Okay, so two people are in the waiting room. View. Yeah, you trying to get them?
Is anybody in?
Anna, Fritcher, and Z. Oh, Z's coming back. Yeah, Avalon is there. Z is there. Okay, cool. Hello?
Yeah.
Who is this, Avalon?
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm having difficulty with audio and with the setup of these computers. Oh, I now see why this is going on. Let's see if we can fix this. All right, so that part of it is done. Avalon, can you hear me?
Yeah.
But I can't hear you.
You can't
hear
me.
You know. I see Z was trying to connect.
Yeah.
How are you going, Avalon? Long time no see. You still alive?
Yeah. On home, you know.
Huh?
Home for 2 weeks.
Why?
The doctor says I can't drive. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Avalon. How are you?
I'm all right. I shouldn't drive, so.
Why can't you drive? Because of your back?
Yeah.
Wow.
Aggravated more. So when I sit,
still hurting.
It's still hurting. So just now I have to lie back. Pressure on the some muscle on the side here.
You went to Cairo?
I went to Cairo. And she suggested that I not drive for 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
I see.
But can you walk and do stuff?
Yeah, I could walk. When I'm walking.
You're on mute, Z.
Oh, hi, Z.
You're muted, girl.
Ah, now you're unmuted. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm alive. Eating some sorbet.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
Hi, Z. Nice to see you again.
Good to see you guys too. What are you guys eating?
I'm eating sorbi.
Okay.
Anna, what are you eating?
Pizza.
Sybil is telling me she can't get into the bio study.
Sybil?
I don't know what to tell her.
I'm not seeing her trying to come in. I'm only seeing Z, Avalon, Anna, and a guy called Gary. Sybil, I'm not seeing her making an attempt to get in here. So maybe, I don't know if she's at home.
I guess, yeah.
So how are you going to deal with it back, Avalon?
I don't know. So, yeah, the girls.
Is there any treatment for it or any
thing
you're supposed to do?
I'm supposed to go to her to do whatever they do, the chiropractors do, but she's too far away. She's about an hour away from me. So I'm looking for another chiropractor because just to drive into her.
Where is she?
She's in Somers, New York.
Oh, Somers. I know where that is in Westchester.
Right, yeah. So
I go there and look for housing.
Another one close to me. I'm going to call them.
It's kind of funny because if she tells you not to drive, you certainly can't drive an hour to get there.
I know. She was saying it's not a good idea to drive to her, but she was so...
But is it that bad?
She was so nice. Oh, my gosh. She was really nice.
If you would wear a mask, I'll come and meet you and carry you.
Well, there's one in Bridgeport, which is like 10 minutes away. Sebs,
hey.
Why you can't get in?
I don't know. I can't get on. What is wrong? Do you have to send me a link or something?
You want to send? Should I send a link? Let me send
it. Send a link. You have to use the link. You have to use the link. Jen just got in.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Jen.
I have to search my email now and send
it. Hi.
Jennifer.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Jen.
So nice to see you.
How are you guys?
You want some sorbet, Jennifer?
I want some fish. What was that?
Take some sorbet. Yeah. Look. I put it on your lips.
I'll take it.
Some sorbet.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm tired.
Working hard?
It feels like a Monday all over again. Like, with the timing and everything, I'm just like, I don't know what day it is.
Have they called you back as yet?
For the office?
Mm-hmm.
No, even if they did, I'm not going.
Oh, way to go, though.
Yeah,
please tell them.
I will use the rest of my vacation time if they tell me to go back right now.
That's a good idea.
Saving up days.
That's a cool part of it, huh? I'm just counting the number of cruises I'll do when this is over. If I survive.
I know I want to go apple picking, but I was trying to read. I'm like, is it safe? I just want some apples.
Z, what have you been doing with yourself? What have you been doing with yourself?
Not much.
You've been working hard?
Working on it, yes.
Working hard, Z?
Yes. I did go to a breeder. Avalon was supposed to come with us, but we did go to a breeder upstate New York, Bolivar, New York. It's 5 hours from White Plains.
Oh, wow.
So we did go look at a breeder with some, you know, just introduce ourselves. Can you
forgive me for my ignorance? What is a breeder?
Oh, I'm sorry, a Great Dane breeder.
Ah, okay.
Right. Oh,
that was me. Sorry.
I sent an email to send it to Sybil.
But this would have been together a breeder, the dog for Avalon. Or
let me send it to you, Avalon.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, she's in the group. No, I'll just post it in the group.
So you're getting a new dog.
Hello.
Well, Avalon and I would like to. I was hoping we were brothers.
Ah. So you guys will share. Well, you can't share a dog, so you just have two, and they'll come and say hello to each other.
Yeah, no, that's not going to work.
A boy and a girl, or two boys or two girls?
I think Avalon wanted a boy. I'd like a boy, too.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so it'd be nice to be
my dog's name.
What?
I'm telling Gary, you know what's my dog's name?
Oh, you named the dog before you got it?
Yeah, Randolph Richard.
That's after your father.
Randolph is my dad and Richard was my husband.
Randolph Richard? Oh, yeah. Boy.
Avalon, I emailed you the link.
You emailed it to me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What is that a link for, Anna?
Because it's one of those links that isn't like a link. It's hyperlinked between please join here. So I just send you the link.
Jen, what's up with Eric?
Oh, I could also copy it here.
I don't know. He's home today.
Probably busy. Tell him he has me feeling kind of like weird. I'm the only man in this group now.
Yeah, we tried to sell it to yourself. Hold on. Anna, put it in the group chat. All right.
So I'm representing all masculine people.
You are the thorn.
What's that?
Rose among the thorns.
I hear you.
You're the rose among the thorns.
A rose, I think it's more like a thorn among the roses. You guys are roses, I'm the thorn. Let's wait for Sybil because it's her topic. So.
Yeah, she's supposed to, I think she's coming in now. This room is too dark here. I can't see it.
Jen, I suspect we'll have to start going out soon enough. Some of us.
To go back?
Yeah, some of these offices starting to get on draconian. So I won't be surprised if some of us have to go back soon.
I just think, I work in the library. That's not critical. They don't need us there.
You heard about a teacher who died today? Yesterday?
No.
Yeah, a teacher went out to school with the kids, and 3 days later she was dead from coronavirus.
What? Where?
Yeah. Huh?
Where?
I don't know where, but it was on the news today. 3 days after going out to school, she's dead. Let's see if I can find it.
I know. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it overall, you know?
Jen, what do you do in the library? Are you behind that, Ask Doug?
I help make sure it stays up and that they do upgrades and that kind of stuff.
Because that thing is really amazing. I'm not even kidding. Like, somebody in my office told me about it because I was asking them, I cannot find this particular resolution. It's supposed to be there. Somebody referenced it, but it might be named differently. And someone told me, why don't you contact the Ask Dag people? And I was like, seriously? But they were amazing. Like, they were absolutely incredible. It worked really well.
Yeah, no. That team is really good about responding to people and really actually finding and being helpful. The rest of the library, I don't think so much, but that group is actually really good.
So this is the kind of thing that you do.
Make sure that everything stays up and running, all the applications, that kind of stuff, behind the scenes.
So cool.
Z, I have a question for you. Did you find any names that you like?
At the moment, no. I'm having difficulty deciding between a couple of colors.
So
how many colors do they come in?
How many dogs do they have? How many colors do they come in? Sounds like shoes.
I know.
Listen to how organized Z is.
Well,
I was going to name the dog Richard. She came to me with a folder with the name Richard written on it, the date and all that on this folder.
Wow.
And she brought 10 books for me to read about Great Danes.
Wow.
Well, traditionally there are 5 colors. With this breeder, she sort of doesn't go with.
Gary, you're screen sharing for some reason.
I am. When she's finished talking, I'll tell you why.
The traditional AKC colors would be Harlequin, Fawn, Brindle, Black, Blue. Merle, those are your traditional AKC colors. She she goes against those colors. So she's into Fawniquin, Merlequin. She's got a lot of different variations of colors that are not, as I would say, AKC approval. So there are adorable puppies. I'm just more traditional. I like the traditional look. I'm not used to the Fawniquins. I think I sent Avalon a picture of it. It's definitely a different look. So I'm debating the colors choices.
But you have real strength to go into that kind of detail after to go see little cute puppies and walking away.
I know. Like, I want them all. Give me all the puppies.
Oh, yes.
How cute they are.
This breeder had 21 Great Danes on her property.
Wow.
21. Two are going in heat anytime soon now. And then there are two females are going to give birth anytime soon now. And then there are three females about to go in heat. So it was interesting. One of the Danes are very picky when it comes to her suitor. So they're still working out their differences.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Hello. So,
before you all go on, I'm not too sure, but I'm getting like 20 Anaphriches.
Yeah, I'm confused by that too. I just saw that.
3 Anaphriches in here right now.
Oh, maybe because I forwarded Sybil my link and earlier I forwarded it to you, Gary.
So 1 Anaphrich is Sybil, but no, I'm not in. I'm in on my account.
Why am I at you on your screen? Why is this lady looking at me?
You have a lady looking at you? Okay.
It's so, me.
Sybil, welcome. But before we go on, this is the teacher. I shared the screen with y'all. I shared my screen with y'all because this is the teacher who died 1 week into the school year.
Oh, that's her. Oh.
Yeah.
Where?
It's on my screen.
Oh.
The lady that you're seeing on my screen, that's her. She died 1 week and her family is saying that they want everybody to know to be very careful going back out to work. Because 1 week into this school year, she died.
I'm so sorry to give my deepest condolences.
Yeah, I don't know her personally, but I just thought it was a sad story and an interesting story for us to note. So it's not a good idea for us to rush back out, but if some of us have no choices or no choice, then we have no choice. So I'm going to stop sharing now. Bye-bye. Yeah. Okay. No,
but I'm seriously a little creeped out by all my names on that screen.
I couldn't get but I couldn't get you, one. Anna?
Oh, Gary, can you add Eric? He said he's in the waiting room.
Oh, he's another Anna Virgil.
Maybe.
I see an Anna.
Oh gosh, it's freaking me out. Seriously.
I couldn't get on. I couldn't get
Hi,
on.
Hi, Eric.
Use your name, and for some reason I got on.
Four Anna Virgils are in here now.
Anna, you're multiplying.
My alternate personalities.
Yeah. Just hope we don't see you like walking just like that, you know, like a zombie or something. You're good, all right?
But it's funny. So if I take off my video, you have no idea who's talking.
Eric?
He's also Anna Fritsche. What is going on?
I know.
Oh, probably because I put the link. Eric. Because Eric, did you click on the link in the group?
Yes.
That's why. Yeah, it's because I keep sharing the link.
Well, do you know that today I didn't know if we would have anybody and we have an all-time record. 8 people.
And 4 of them are Anna.
4 Anna's. Like, this is a good way for us to get numbers, Jen.
I know.
That's so funny.
Eric, welcome back. Nice to see you. And you're all bright today and no hat. So we'll be happy to see that.
Yes, I'm happy. Hey, no hat.
I don't know if you met Z, Eric. I don't think you met Z the last time Z was here. No. Z, did you meet Eric?
Hi.
She's your fellow African continental.
Okay.
If I could put
Where
it
you
that
from?
Way. Eric is also from another part of Africa, Z.
Oh, where's he from? Where are you from?
Gabon.
Okay, I'm from Cape Town.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Great. All right. So, Sybil?
Hello?
Where is Sybil? I'm not seeing Anna.
Yeah.
She's Anna number 3.
Oh, Anna, which one are you? Are you number 3? Anna, which number are you?
Which number am I?
Because we have 3 Annas or 4.
We have 4.
I'm the one on top, so I guess I'm 1 on the left.
Yeah, but who is this one here?
That's you.
No. I'm not yet talking to myself. There's a third Anna without a screen on.
That's Sybil. That's me.
No, no, there's a third one other than you, Sybil. There's two Anas with no video, and one of them is Sybil, but who's the other
one? Oh, I see. Yeah, I don't know who that one is.
That one might be Gary, too.
Or maybe it's Hi, Z. How are you?
Hi, Sybil. How are you?
And you?
I can't see you. I see three different Anas here in front of me.
Oh, you're seeing three now?
I see three.
Yes, I'm seeing four.
You see four?
Okay, so let's see if we can account for everybody one by one. Okay, I'm going first. Gary.
Anna.
Jennifer.
Z.
Avalon.
Eric.
Sybil.
Sybil, I think you're muted. Sybil, I think you're muted.
Am I muted?
Oh, no, we're hearing you.
We didn't hear you.
So who is this other one who is muted? There's an Anna Fritcher who's muted here. Ask to unmute.
Rebecca? It could be Rebecca.
Rebecca?
No, it's not muted.
I have an Anna Fritcher. Oh. No, Siri Hunt.
No, that one doesn't even have any audio. There's one Anna with no microphone.
Somebody's no video. Playing on us. All right, so we better just ignore that other Anna and welcome whoever it is. Welcome to our Bible study. You're free to listen. We're not planning to overthrow the government or anything to that effect. So enjoy whoever you are.
But how come where's Sybil?
I'm over here. You can't see me.
There you are.
Oh.
I guess I can't see you.
Why can't we see Sybil, Anna? I don't know.
Oh, it's not me to ask.
I can see you guys, though.
I'm calling her Sybil Anna.
But seriously, why is there a fourth Anna here? No, I mean, putting all jokes aside, Jen, you have any thoughts?
I have one. Yes, it's four Anna. One, two, three, four Annas on here. Plus you, Anna, five.
Yeah, but maybe you can kick that one out because I'm looking at the...
But which one is it?
When I look at the participants list, there's one that doesn't have a microphone, so they didn't connect with audio.
Okay, and that's not everybody else here has audio.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And the only thing I can think of is earlier I was doing some testing. So maybe because of the testing I was doing, the record is still there, but I'm not connected.
But why don't you kick that person out, like Jen?
How do I kick? But I don't know which one it is. That's the problem.
You're the host. The one that I don't know if you have the mic on.
The one without the mic. All right.
Yeah, if you open up the participants list.
Okay, I just threw that person into
okay,
the meeting.
Okay, yeah.
Room.
Now it's gone.
And now I'm going to remove them.
There's a fourth Anna somewhere crying.
That Anna is gone.
But you're still there, right?
Okay,
I'm still here.
Okay, good. So now we're good. We're good.
Well, unfortunately, we're not breaking any record in attendance today. We only have seven. So we're back to 12, but that's good. Small and sweet. Good things come in small packages.
Always.
Yep. All right. So Sybil chose our topic today. And she chose for us to study the Gospel of Matthew. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Now, this is a very long gospel. It's like 28 chapters.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it a massive challenge for us to cover this in one session. So what I thought I would do, I would suggest that we do, because I think it would be good for us to take this topic and go right back to how we started. When Avalon proposed this Bible study, she envisioned, along with myself and then later Anna and everybody else who joined, that it would be more of a conversation than a study, a hardcore study or a sermon or a sermonette or anything like that. Just a conversation, a discussion among ourselves about the Bible. And I think this is a good time for us to go back to it, because Matthew is a very long chapter, and it's really impossible to cover it in a session. You probably wouldn't even cover it in 10 sessions.
Yeah, I was wondering today. I'm like, I don't know how many chapters. I was telling my mom, like, I don't know how many chapters we're going to get to tonight.
Exactly.
That'll be an all-night Bible study.
Exactly. And I think it gives each one of us an opportunity to actually participate, ask questions. So I think it might be a good idea for us to just read, all right? First, to just read Matthew, and we read, either we read a chapter or we read like a part of a chapter, a topic in a chapter, one by one. And when we read it, then we just look to each other and see if we could try to understand it as a group, as against one person saying what it means and then throwing it out for conversation. Might be a good idea for us to just open it up. And anybody who has questions, anybody who wants to comment on it, we just do it really informally, like a conversation. And that's what I'm proposing for us to do. So we start from chapter one, and we just read, and wherever, whenever we get tired, we can cut off. And we can save that, and then we'll take that for another study, another time. We can continue from there. I don't know if everybody's comfortable with that, but that was what I was thinking of doing today.
What was the verse, Gary? The...
Well, we're not going to go to a specific verse, but we will go to a chapter, Matthew, and we'll start reading from the top, and we'll let one person read a bit, give an explanation of what they think it is, and we can discuss it. And if we need to go into more detail, we go into more detail. I don't know how many people here have read the Bible from cover to cover. That's a humongous task, okay?
I try to do it every year. I try to do like That's the Bible great. Reading charts.
Tell us what you do, Jen, because it might be useful for us to understand what you do and see if we can.
If you read like 3 or 4 chapters a day, you can
three
pretty
or
much.
3 or 4 chapters a day. Wow.
Yeah.
And you've been consistent doing that.
Yeah. Some years are better than others. Some years I make it to like September, but then I continue on.
Are you able to make it in a year?
Yeah, you can. If you keep up with it, then you can.
That's great. That's great. I mean, that takes a lot of commitment and a lot of dedication, but that's really good. But most people haven't done that, haven't read the Bible cover to cover. So it's a good idea to do that along with your normal prayer and Bible study. So for those of us who have, those who have not read Matthew, the book of Matthew, I'm assuming there are some people here who haven't looked at the book of Matthew from chapter 1 to chapter 28.
No.
Right in saying so? Right. This would be a good start, and it would be a good place for you to start your reading of the Bible, because Matthew happens to be the first book in the New Testament. Okay? And since it's the first book in the New Testament, it's a good place for a foundation. And I would mention here, Matthew was sort of like deliberately put as the first book in the New Testament because it bridges the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's a really, really good book that bridges the two because it goes into the Judaism and some of the changes that like Christ is implementing, some of the things that was happening. So he brought a nice bridge between the old and the new way. And I think that's one of the reasons why Matthew was established as the first book of the New Testament, because it provides a really good bridge. So I think we're killing a few birds with one stone. If we start, we give everybody a head start on reading the Bible, which, as you know, for those who don't know, the Bible is broken up into two testaments, if I could use it that way. It's the Old Testament and the New Testament. And most things in the spiritual realm, they have these sort of two analogies, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. You know, it's very similar throughout the scripture like that way in many instances. So Matthew is the start of the New Covenant, which is a good place to start because it makes a lot of reference to the Old Covenant because of the heavy role that the Pharisees and the Jews played in Matthew or in the time of Christ. Now, Matthew is also one of the four Gospels, okay? You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And those books really cover the life of Christ. So you see a lot of life quotes from Jesus Christ himself in those books. So it's really a nice place for us to tie over. Any thoughts on that?
I think it's interesting how each of the Gospels, it's the same story basically from different perspectives.
Yeah.
Right. So, Shabal, maybe I could ask you here, is there a specific reason why you wanted us to study Matthew?
No, I was thinking about what I should study, what verse or maybe a chapter or something, and it just came into my stomach. Mm. That says Matthew.
Okay.
You know, and maybe too, it was in church last, we read something, a little line on Matthew, and I came home and I had to give you, you know, an answer on what to read, and that's what happened really. I think it was just my stomach here, like, you know, I tried, I went through the entire Bible looking for something, and this Matthew keep coming in my stomach, Matthew.
Maybe you were guided, because it so happened that we find now that this is a bridge for all of us to probably start a reading of the Bible too, if we're interested in doing that, and it's a good place for us to start. And after you cover the New Testament, then we could probably try to read the Old Testament, I mean on our own, all right?
Yeah.
Privately. Not a bad objective to have. You know, in the Bible, it's here a little, there a little, and you put it all together, but it's also useful to read the whole book too as well.
Yeah.
Now, Zee,
Yes.
For your, to answer your question a little more directly, so Matthew is the first book in the Old Testament, and the way that the Bible is structured, you have several books in the Old and the New Testament. Basically, the Bible is an amalgamation of several books. Like, people just wrote different letters. It's a lot of letters and a lot of books. People wrote these letters, and then they were compiled together to form the canon of the Bible. All right?
It's the first book in the New Testament, Z. You said Old Testament. She would get confused.
Yeah, I'm going to explain it to her, yeah.
Not Old.
Sorry?
You said Matthew was the first book in the Old Testament.
And I did? Okay, my bad.
That's why I was like, wait a minute, where am I now?
Okay, all right. Okay, so, well, yeah, so what I'm trying to explain is that you have two testaments in the Bible, the Old and the New, all right? The Old Testament deals with the period of time before Christ. And the New Testament is after Jesus Christ came. He came 2,000 years ago. But what I was saying is that most of the books of the Bible are basically letters, especially of the New Testament, are letters that were written. And the Bible wasn't written like a book. You know, somebody sat down and write the whole book and put a full stop at the end and say, this is it. The Old Testament wasn't written by it like a book. So it's really several letters, pages, books that are all put together to form it. The Old Testament has several books. I think it's 65. I'm not too sure. But they have several books in the Old Testament. And they mainly announce and cover the Jewish religion, because it's basically an account of God as the Israelite people come into contact with him. And as anybody comes into contact with Israelites. So the Bible is like supposedly a historical account of that. It's the movement of these Israelite people throughout their existence. And anytime another body comes into contact with them, they come into the Bible, to the Old Testament. So that's how you learn about different people around the world and stuff. And then the New Testament is Christ then saying, well, hey, it's no longer just about the Israelites. It's now we're now gonna open this up to the whole world. So whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, then you find you see the relevance much more clearly in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, when Christ came, he said, hey, you know what? We were working with the Jews exclusively to a certain extent, but now God is working with everybody. And he opened it up. All right? So as I said before, Matthew provides a bridge between the two because it's the first book in the New Testament. All right. So let's start at the top, guys, and let's probably read. And what I would suggest is, if you all think this is a good idea, we'd let somebody read a chapter, and the person who's reading, you could stop at any point, ask the group a question, or you could continue reading until you get to the end of a chapter. When you're finished with that, then we go to another chapter. But at some point, I may stop you two and probably we'll discuss some of what we would have read. All right, so let's start with Matthew 1, verse 1. And,
which version?
Sorry?
Which version today?
Ah, y'all pick a version. You tell me, Jen, which version you want to use today. Which one you'd recommend today?
You all know what my favorite is, but you pick.
All right, so Anna says, what, the New Living Translation?
Yes.
All right, anybody disagrees? Going once, going twice, going three times, gone. The New Living Translation, does everybody have one of those?
I don't know what Z has. What do you have, Z?
I have no idea what I'm looking at.
Let me see, you just send it to me. Let me see what you have.
Yeah, I said
he has the New King James Version.
Or the New King James Version. Yeah, Anna, would you mind if we switch to that for Z's benefit since she only has that one?
Not a problem.
All right, so then let's use the New King James Version. Okay, so the New King James Version is very similar to the Old King James Version or the King James Version. The King James Version was written, I think it's in the 16th century, around there. And the New King and the King James Version is in very flowery language. The New King James Version was an attempt to get to a more literal translation of what the Bible, the original text, well, not original necessarily, because they don't even find any of the original letters that were written. They're all copies, even though some of the copies date back to a few years or a few hundred years or so after Christ died. But the New... Sorry?
Continue. Rebecca said she can't hear anything.
Rebecca, but she's not here.
She said...
She's not in with us.
Yes, she can't hear a thing. She said, are we on tonight? Can't hear a thing.
The thing about it is that I'm not seeing her in the group.
You're not seeing her? Mm-hmm. Sorry, she's texting me.
She has to try to sign in, all right?
Yeah, let me tell her to go to the group chat.
Oh, I think she joined. I just got an email. She joined my old room.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Tell her go to the group chat, right?
But then she becomes another Anna.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I didn't even know I had a room open
you
still.
You have two Avalons. Okay, so Avalon, you'll sort that out first, all right?
Yeah, okay.
All right, so... We're going to start with the New King James Version. And somebody wants to read for us from Matthew 1, verse 1. And again, whoever is reading, whether it's Jen, Anna, so anything you stumble on that you want to comment on, feel free to do it. Anything you want to ask a question on, feel free to do it.
Okay, so should I start reading?
Absolutely.
Jesus forgives and heals a paralytic. So he got into a boat, crossed
over. Where are you?
The New King James Version. Oh, I'm in Matthew 9. Sorry. Sorry.
I was like, where did that come from? We have to start from the top, which is genealogy.
Yes, I now have it. The genealogy of Jesus Christ. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And can we start with the English translation? What is begot?
It could be was the father of Isaac and Isaac the father of Jacob.
He had a child called Isaac. Abraham had a son called Isaac, begot. Means to like the begotten son of God is Jesus, the only begotten son. He came out from his loins. So it means that Isaac came out of the body of Abraham.
Okay, so we have Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac.
So just to qualify it, Anna, just to qualify it, there's a difference between if you begat a son and if you adopted a son. Because we are God's adopted children, but Christ is his begotten son. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary.
Mm.
So Christ is the begotten Son of God. We are the adopted children of God. Christ is our big brother in that sense. But but we are really adopted. He is begotten. There's a difference between the two. Does that make any sense, everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it's good for us to know that at the start, because immediately we understand the difference, and probably it's one of the reasons why it's structured that way in the scripture, so that we have a clear understanding from the word go of how these prophets came about. But, and then we see the difference between that and Jesus Christ.
So explain that again.
Okay, so Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son mm-hmm. of God.
Right.
All right? We, on the other hand, who are called and who are saved and who are born into God's kingdom, we are adopted children. So God adopts us, but Christ was begotten. He's not adopted. So he's our elder brother, just as if we had an adopted brother, okay? He's our elder brother because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So he was conceived in that way, and so he's the begotten Son of God. Okay. But we are also children of God. But sometimes, you know, we think Christ is our elder brother, we are children of God, but we must understand there's a distinction. He is really begotten, we are adopted. And the scripture tells us that we are adopted. And because we are adopted, we are now heirs. But he is begotten. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So when they say Abraham begot Isaac, it's in the same concept, context as how Christ was begotten, okay, by God. So Abraham begot Isaac. So Isaac wasn't adopted. He was produced out of the sperm of Abraham.
Got it.
At least that's my understanding and my explanation. I don't know if anybody has any other different thought to share. Feel free to do so.
Well, I never looked at it that way before, you know. I used to read this first chapter. I was like, couldn't wait to get through the whole thing because
it's true.
And that one, we got the other one. Who cares?
It's so frustrating. It's true.
Everything in the Bible, guys, every single thing is there for a purpose. It's just that we don't know it until we pray about it and God opens our eyes to see it. But it's all there for a purpose. I have found that to be so amazing, you know? And even as Anna is reading it, your mind might open up to things. My mind might open up to new things. And then we have a better understanding of Christ as we start reading the gospel. And
it's sometimes a good point because I just Googled what the word means. Mm-hmm. And the dictionary says it's basically to beget is to bring a child into existence by the process of reproduction.
Exactly. And truthfully, if I have to be honest with you all, I didn't even check a dictionary to see what the meaning of the word begat is, to begat. But I God just opened our eyes to the idea of what he's saying here and the difference between this relationship and the relationship of Christ. That's why, guys, we all have to go through Christ. No matter how we go, where we go, how we turn, no matter how we think, oh, you know what, we can call God directly and talk to him. We don't need Christ. It doesn't work that way because there's a system.
Yeah, and he said Christ is the only begotten Son.
Exactly, the only begotten Son.
Wow, that's
we are so fortunate and blessed that still God is willing to adopt us. Just think of that. We are adopted children. You know, we look at a family and parents who have adopted children, some of them will tell you that they love their children all, you know, their adopted children. Christ is begotten, but we are adopted. And Christ didn't have to do that. As the begotten Son of God, he could have been like, hey, you know what? I ain't sharing this inheritance with these bastards down on earth. I ain't sharing my inheritance with them. But what does he do? He shares it with us. Because now we are heirs. We are heirs because we are adopted. That's why we are heirs to the kingdom of God. And that's unbelievable. That's, again, a clear sign of Christ's generosity and love and kindness towards us. It's unthinkable. Just another way of looking at it.
Yeah, also I want to say that you know, the people that were in the genealogy of Jesus, a lot of them, those are the stories that are covered in the Old Testament.
Nice.
Of the people's names. So, you know, in the Old Testament you'll read about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Judah and, you know, like, and it goes down later on about like
Ruth and David and whatever, like a lot of those stories end up are the ones that are you read being focused on.
Yep.
And guys, that's a relevant point, Jen. And guys, also too, just to note that these were all Jews, okay? And God was working, well, Israelites, and God was working with the Israelites directly. So then we understand why the Israelites are the ones who preserve the canon of the Old Testament, because they've been handing this down from generation to generation. All right, great thoughts. Banana, Anna, sorry.
Which one?
Oh yeah, which one? The real yes. one.
The real one, please stand up.
The real one, the one and only.
Ah, yes.
Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Oh, there was another Judah?
Actually, but when you that Judah is Judah. That Judah is the one that you get Jews from. Because Judah was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. So just to explain to you, Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob, eventually, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. Okay? He was born Jacob, but later on in life, his name was changed to Israel. And from Israel, you have the 12 tribes. That's Judah, who was one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and all of his brothers, 11 others of them. So that's how you get the 12 tribes of Israel. And one of the tribes of Israel was Judah. The tribes are named after the names of the brothers. One of the tribes was Judah. And Judah is what you get from that Judaism. So that's how you get Judaism, the religion Judaism. And Jew is a short word for Judaism and Jew and Judah, for the people who are from that tribe. Cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron and Hezron begot Ram.
Avalon.
That's my name.
You were begotten back in the 400 BC.
Ram begot Aminadab. Aminadab begot Nashun, and Nashun begot Salmon.
Not the ones that we eat, right?
Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king.
Okay, so you see the first set of lineage to David, the king of Israel. So this was the sequence with which everybody was born, the generations before David, and then Israel received this king, David, who God blessed, and who sat on the throne in greatness.
For me also, like, you know, the stories of some of these people, like Rahab was a harlot, you know, and Ruth left her land, and all these other things. Like, it's interesting to hear the stories and the lineage. Like, I like genealogy in general, so...
And you did.
Yeah, that's insane. I've always interested in that. So, you know, when you read through this, this is like, to me, like reading through the census, like, oh, you just see the thing. But when you go back, it's like, oh, wow, this is the backstory to what happened. And this is how this person got chosen over this one. And
that's great. Yeah, I know you did a genealogy test already, right?
I really am into that kind of stuff. Finding out, like,
we did this whole project. No, you were interviewed about this.
Yeah. I'm still working on it. It's still a lot to find out. I couldn't imagine keeping track of this from, like, Abraham all the way, I mean, from, like, the beginning of time all the way down to Jesus, and then
a lot of people. That's cool.
You know, there was this American woman who was doing writing a book on her roots. And she traced her roots back to Africa, a black woman, and she traced it through Trinidad back to Africa. And she actually came to Trinidad to find out, you know, to see if she could trace the family. She traced it back to a family in Trinidad called the Panting family, which was my family. And she came all the way there and was researching it and stuff. And then it took her to Tobago, and she was going place by place, right back to Africa to find out how she came to this part of the world.
Wow.
It was interesting.
Wow.
Well, in those days, we didn't have internet and stuff, so we took her information and all that, but somebody lost it, and I don't know if the book was ever written. Yeah, I'm not a genealogy person that way, but it's kind of cool when you know exactly where you come from and stuff. And there must be some importance to the gen, because look, God takes his time and outlines it here for us, you know?
Should I continue?
Absolutely.
David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehob.
So just so that you understand this, King David had an affair with a woman who was married to a guy called Uriah.
Yeah.
And he impregnated her. And then Uriah, when David found out, as Jen was saying, these stories are really interesting, because when David found out that Uriah's wife was pregnant for David, remember, he's supposed to be a man of God, but he hid and stuff on the side, as we say in Trinidad. When he found out that, he was like, oh boy, what do I do? He brought Uriah home and asked Uriah, go and sleep with your wife. But Uriah was like, no, I'm fighting a war.
Uriah the Hittite.
Yes.
We were reading about this.
Exactly. Yeah. So saying it for the benefit of those who were not there at the time. What is interesting is that after David killed Uriah, his wife, Bathsheba, David then decided to take Bathsheba as his own wife. But the child who was supposed to be born, because she was impregnated by Uriah before she died, that child was supposed to be born. And David prayed and asked God to spare the life of the child, but God didn't. The child died, okay? But subsequently, David got Bathsheba pregnant again, well, for the first time for David, and she had a son. And that son was Solomon, who became King Solomon, the wise King Solomon. So it's an intriguing story as to how Solomon came about, because he came about, well, of course, he was born to wedlock parents, but the whole thing was a big scandal before he was born. So, you know, sometimes we think these scandals, you know, they doom us for life, but they don't. If we made mistakes like that, you know, God is willing to forgive us and we can move on, even in the most difficult of circumstances, because David had killed Uriah, murdered him.
Isn't that something? Is like the young and the restless we're looking at.
Exactly. And you know, Sybil, it went on, eh? It didn't stop.
Yeah. Yet.
David had a family that was a great way to put it, was like the young and the restless. Banana.
And these are all spiritual, sorry, and these people all should have been really spiritual, because they're praying every day,
yep,
lifting up everything to God, you know, and look at, just means to show that how weak we can be.
But it also gives me hope that there is mercy, you know,
yes. Yes.
After you
yes.
repent and you still, you know, have the heart toward God, that God will still take whatever, mm-hmm. and, you know, there's still consequences for your sin, but he can still use your life.
Yeah.
It was because of my readings of David very early in my Christian life that I have. Because without being able to read what David had done and how God had brought him around and how God had forgiven him, and God never forsook him through all of that, it made me understand that, hey, you know, you really don't have to worry. God is going to pick you up. No matter how deep a cliff you fall into, he will finish that work he started in you. So that gave me a lot of hope. And that yeah. helped me significantly, especially when I first started to repent.
As God said, he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. And regardless of where you go, he'll always be there for you, with you.
No, I just calling you to see what your thoughts are.
My thoughts... Well, I know we studied this at the beginning of our Bible study, and it was about the life of David, and he was a prophet. He was a great king, and he committed this big sin of adultery, and he got her pregnant, And he did all kinds of things to make it look as if, you know, he was trying to hide it. But even after the baby was born, the baby still died. And then he got her pregnant again after Uriah died and Solomon was born. So even though he committed this great sin at the start, his son Solomon was a great person. You know, after all that, God forgave him, and God, a great prophet, came from his relationship with Bathsheba.
See? Any thoughts?
Oh. Just listening, no thoughts. I don't know why, but just...
It's all new to her, right, Z?
What?
It's all new to you, right?
It's overwhelming. It's a lot to absorb. No, I don't know why, but I got a little distracted, but just as you were talking, I was just thinking about how come today, where we are, how come before we commit adultery, why don't we go to the Bible and just, you know, read a verse from the Bible and go, should I sleep with him or should I not?
Good way to think.
That's just where my head went all of a sudden. Like, look, everyone begot, and, you know, and so in my head, I'm going, you know, with life and just with everything that's going on, before you commit adultery, like, you know, your vows, your marriage is sacred. So how come we don't, before we commit to do something, why don't we go to the Bible and ask, like, is this, should I do it? Should I not do it? Is it a bad thing? What would happen when I be punished? You know, when I go to hell? I don't know. That's just what popped into my head.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons why is because I often tell people that to me, sin is sweet.
Yeah. Sin
comes across as being very sweet. It's very sweet to commit that sin initially because it comes across really attractive. I mean, you see this gorgeous girl and you think, hey, you know what? I'll just take a chance. It's no big thing. It appears sweet. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. If it was looking bad and looking horrible, you'd be like, I'm not interested in that. But the nicer it comes to you, the easier it is for you to fall into that temptation. It's like when Satan told Christ, hey, if you just bow down to me, I'll give you all of this. And he looked at the whole world and he told him, you'll get all of this. You know, he didn't try to say, well, if you bow down to me, I'll give you a piece of sliced bread, because that wouldn't even have a chance. So sin is very sweet in its appearance. Of course, the consequences are something else. And I mean, even for people who are staunch Christians, the layer of sin can still be so deceitful and attractive that you could fall into it no matter what. So the thing about it is that your approach is the right one, Z, which is if you are grounded in the scripture, when these issues come up, the first thing you'll think about is that. And then hopefully you'll go to God and he will help you through it. But the thing about it is that very often, that's most times, at least in my life, that's not the way it goes. You know, most times you just follow your flesh. You follow the attractive things. You know, you start rationalizing it. Well, yeah, it mightn't be good, but you know what? Nobody will know, or something comes into your head. And, you know, that's just the reality of how the world is. And it's only with God's help, if we have problems like these, that we could get any kind of help. And it mightn't just be with adultery. It could be with a whole host of things. I think that your struggle with sin as a Christian goes on until you die. You never get to the point where you say, I've sinned enough now, when it's over, I'm not going to sin anymore. It's not going to happen.
I wish it were that simple.
Yeah. You know, that's your experience too, all right? You know, Z? So, yeah, but the good thing is if you renew your mind, as you suggest in Z, which is going to the Bible and studying it and thinking until, yeah, you know, is it right, is it wrong? It will help. It will help a lot if you pray about it and renew your mind.
I was just thinking, like, if everyone had the Ten Commandments tattooed on the inside of their palm, you know, mm-hmm. and you were about to steal, and you go, nope, thou shalt not steal.
Then you can tell yourself, I'm hungry, so I need to steal this.
You know, well, I'll tell you a little secret, Z. I'll tell you a little secret. That's also a good idea. But the problem is, if you have it on the palm of your hand, it's probably not going to work. You know why? It needs to be in your heart. Because that's where it really comes from. So if you write it on your hand or you write it on your feet, which is what technically God did in the Old Testament with those stones, those tablets of stones, he gave them the Ten Commandments on tablets, you know, and they could see it, but it didn't work. They didn't keep it. Because in the New Testament, he writes it in a new way. He writes it on our hearts instead of on our hands or on our or on tablets of stone. And that's where the commandments have to be written, in our hearts.
In our hearts.
Yeah. And if it's not written there, there's absolutely no way we would be able to keep it, because otherwise we will try, but you know, it's going to be really, really tough.
But you know what?
Interesting observation. Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, somebody go ahead.
I was about to say about, you know, David and I'm Bathsheba. God had that all planned beforehand. Do you think so? Because he took a woman, I have to say he took it because he knew everything. He knows how we are formed in our wombs. He said he had books that is written before we were even born, right? So was that one of his plans to get Bathsheba there? And, you know, his line had to come through her, King Solomon. What do you think about that?
That's a really interesting question.
Because look who came, a great man come from these two, David and Bathsheba. So, you know.
From a big thing, you know.
A great, you know what I think?
King Solomon.
What's that?
Oh, Solomon is the son of Bathsheba and King David.
No. So yes. Solomon is the son of Bathsheba, but not the boy, not the one who... Not of Uriah, of David.
No.
Uriah's son died.
Right, but no, but I knew that King David was the father of Solomon, but I didn't know that was from the affair.
From Bathsheba.
No.
But it wasn't from the affair, but it was from Bathsheba.
Yeah, but it took time. Was
David's son, right?
But King Solomon
came,
right?
Was that a problem?
David slept with Bathsheba. She got pregnant.
Yeah.
He was trying to make it look like Uriah's child.
Yeah.
But that child died, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. But then the second David was born came
after.
Along.
David was born after.
After that child.
So God said, David had prayed night and day for his child, for the child to be saved. By saying Uriah's child, but what I should say is, the child that was David's, but while Bathsheba and Uriah were still married.
Okay.
That's how I should call it. I'm not putting it the right way.
Right.
So it's not Uriah's child, it was David's child, but he had sexual relations with her before, while she was married to Uriah. It wasn't a daughter.
Okay.
So David prayed for God to spare the life of that child, but God didn't.
Right.
But then God said, you know what, I'll give you another child, and he gave him another child. Okay, but back to Sybil's question, which I thought was a really good one. My thought on all of that, Sybil, is this. All right, again, it's just my thought. I think Jen, Anna, Eric, you guys may have other thoughts, but I think God knows all of us from the start to the end. I agree with that, but I don't think it is that God sits and plans. Well, you know what, Gary, you will commit adultery with that girl because that's what I want you to do. I think what God does is he lets us live. But to God, we have already lived our lives. To us, it's still in front of us. So God knows what we will do next.
Yeah.
He knows what we will do next. But he is able, no matter what we do, to give it a good outcome eventually. Because he can take any situation and deal with it for the children, for those who he will save. Because he understands how to bring us around, to bring us back to square one, so to speak. So I think that, yes, he knows what we will do, but because with him, it's hard to understand, but there's no time and space. So what we are experiencing now, which seems like what will happen in the future, God already knows it because he knows every move from here on in. But these are our moves. And he will deal with it accordingly. Or if I could put it another way, he has dealt with it accordingly. He fallen already for us. So even all the mistakes, Sybil, that you will make in the future, God already has dealt with it for you. And I know that's hard to understand, but he has already dealt with it for you. There's nothing that you can do. If God has decreed that you would be saved, there's nothing that you, I believe, I know we may have differences on that, but there's nothing that you could do to not be saved. Because he will find a way to put it in your heart eventually that you will want to be saved and you will become saved and you will be. Because he is the one who orchestrates it. Now, that doesn't mean that you're just sitting there and whatever happens, there happens. But what it does mean is that God is going to work with you right down to the end. So, yes, I agree with you that he knows everything and he knows all the details. But that doesn't change the fact that we are living our lives. I know it's kind of confusing. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden?
Yep.
Remember after they sinned, what God did? God didn't come down and say, hey, okay, I just caught you and Eve sinning, so now you all get out of the garden.
Yeah.
He came down and he said, hey, what have you done? What's up? He already knew. But he allowed them to live it out. You understand what I'm saying? But he already knew what they had done. But he gave them a chance to repent. And he gives them a chance again. And he gives us a chance. And we will get a chance right down to the end until he brings us right back to him.
Yeah. So lovely put, as usual.
Well, thank you. You're so kind.
Well, this is like a book that's written already. And it's like the whole adventure we're going through this life. God knows the book from start to end.
If you jump off a building, like if I decided, okay, I'll just walk out of this building right now. It's 71 stories, all right?
I'm on the
71st floor. If I walk out of my building right now, there's gravity that will pull me down to the ground and I'll probably perish when I get to the ground floor, okay? There's gravity that is there that will pull me right down. Ain't nothing I could do about it. So that's my destiny if I went out there and I walked out there. It's as good as done. Now, I know this for a fact, but I could still do it. So for people who are out there, God knows what we will do and he knows the outcome of what we will do. But we haven't done it as yet, but it's more sure than gravity. Than the gravitational pull of the earth. It's more sure than that. We know the sun will rise or the earth will continue to spin around the sun. But what we do in the future is more certain than that. So God already knows what we have done before we have done it. He knows the sin we will commit before we've committed it. In other words, when Peter was there and Peter was like, I will never betray you, Christ. He says, okay, wait for the cock to crow three times and then talk. All right. And when the cock started to crow, Peter was like, oh boy, he knew it. That was Peter's faith in a sense. But the same way Christ knew that, he also knew that Peter would be a great leader and would be preaching all over the world his gospel. He knew it before. Now, does that mean that Peter was like a zombie walking around just fulfilling Christ's objectives? No. Peter was living his life, but not because you know the outcome, it means you're a zombie. It's you that are impacting the outcome, even though the outcome is already written, because you know it's written by you, just you don't understand that. It's really complicated. Why are you laughing, Avlon?
It is complicated.
Yeah, it is complicated. It's like a Facebook relationship. Eric, tell us something.
No, but I'm listening.
All right. Anna Banana?
Yes. Do I continue the lineage?
Absolutely. I thought we would have been blazing through this, and by now we would be on chapter 5 or something.
That was boring part, and it's so interesting.
Go ahead, Anna.
You know, I should have known. If I knew the scripture better, I would have never chosen to read this, because this has all the names I can't pronounce.
That's the challenge for you as a non-native speaker.
Yep.
But you're doing a great job so far.
Solomon begot... Oh, no, I was here already. No, I wasn't.
Sorry.
Solomon begot...
You're only hearing it twice.
Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat begot Joram. Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. And Ahaz begot Hezekiah.
Let's stop right here before we go on, and let's ask Jen if she could help us with some of this, because Jen is very familiar with lineage and genealogy.
One second, please.
Sibyl, why am I not seeing your face?
Whose face? My own?
Sibyl's face I'm not seeing.
Sibyl? She said she doesn't have a camera on.
Oh, okay.
But Jen?
Yeah, no, some of these ended up being kings over Israel. Okay. Kings over the nation of Judah. So, that's the only thing I have about that portion, those portion of people.
Okay. So some of them were king, ended up being kings.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, Anna?
Seriously, it keeps getting worse. I'm not even kidding.
Don't worry, Anna, listen, I'll tell you something. I don't know anybody who can read these names fluently. Except somebody who's familiar, really familiar with all of it. And I'm familiar with some of it, but I still can't read all of them, but I know a lot of them.
No, and in my...
Some of them were kings and prophets and stuff like that.
On the electronic version, it doesn't have the phonetic spelling, but like the version of the Bible I have, it has it spelled out phonetically.
That
helps.
Yeah. That would be helpful.
No, I made up names long ago. I don't know if I pronounced them correctly, but...
That's the safest way to pronounce them well, eh? Come on, Anna. Let's see how you could.
All right. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Amon, and Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel begot Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok, Zadok begot, this is a German name, Achim, but I'm sure it's not pronounced like that. And Achim begot Eliud. Eliud begot Eliezer, Eliezer begot Matan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who's called Christ.
You made it!
That is the worst. I'm sorry.
Oh boy.
Was that really necessary? My goodness.
That was penance.
As we grow, I'm sure that there's a lot we come back to in here. Sometime in the future, you know, just think that these people, whatever lives they live, they have a place in the scripture virtually like for eternity, you know. And what is interesting is as we get right down to the end, guys, if you look higher up, you know, you see a sort of the structure is where it's all right. Maybe I should do this a little differently. What we've gotten now to the point of the last begotten being was who?
Jesus Christ.
Well, before Christ, you had
Joseph
Jacob.
And Mary.
Jacob begot who?
Joseph.
Who was the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. But notice, it doesn't say Joseph begot Jesus.
Yes, it's true.
And that's... To me, that's pretty important that distinction is made there, all right? It doesn't say that because...
Ah, because he's God's begotten son, not...
That's correct.
Yes.
Ah.
Okay,
Rebecca is here.
Sorry?
Do you see Rebecca?
I'm sorry?
Do you see Rebecca?
No, I'm not seeing Rebecca.
Yeah, she's in.
I think she's one of the extra Annas.
Oh, no, Rebecca, are you here?
I've been here.
Oh, what? Rebecca has been there. So she's masquerading as an Anna.
Another Anna.
Oh, yeah, we have four Annas now. Rebecca, what has happened is a lot of people have come in under the name of Anna. So you are the fourth Anna in here.
All my split personalities.
Yeah, he is here.
So it's interesting that as we look at the begotten children of their parents, then we come down to Christ and we see there's a bit of a flip on what is being noted here. Jacob begot Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, and Christ was born. Jesus was born. This is interesting too. It says Jesus was born of Mary, and that Jesus is called the Christ. Earth. So as we said before, it's not Mr. Christ. He wasn't the son of a guy called Mr. Christ. He was really the son of God in that sense. But as being coming from the womb of Mary, he was also the son of man. So you see Christ as being the son of God and the son of man in one of the mysteries, of course, of the ages. Okay, so what are the thoughts on this lineage from the group? Any questions? Anybody wants to share any?
I have a question. Why does they have it in groups of 14? Is there a reason for that?
Well, when I don't have the answer, I turn to Jed.
But that's just that one I don't have the answer to also.
But I believe it's just that how it was, you know, the group of 14, you know, self-explanatory, I guess. You know?
I always wondered why.
My thought is that it has to do with prophecy and with how things happen. And what you have found is that you're able to trace, and again, I can't do it because I don't have that level of understanding, but I know that there are some biblical scholars who have actually traced 14 generations and then 14 to Christ, and then 14 afterwards, and then 14 into the future and see some pivotal events. I don't know how true, but I know that is one thing that has happened in the past. Okay, the generations have been traced that way and with consequence ever so often for like the coming of someone of importance. Again, I don't know for a fact, right? And that's not written in the scripture. When God's ready for us to understand it, he'll open it up to our minds. But it's a really interesting question. And it's one that I have always asked of myself. I've always asked, why 14? You know? But there must be a reason. We just don't know. I don't know, at least. I don't think anybody else here knows. Hoping that Jen could have pulled one out of the hat.
Oh, sorry, this one I don't have a, I don't have a reference to on that one. I'll have to take a note and go back and try to find it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting if you find out anything about that, you could share it with us.
I'll make a note.
Other questions? Other thoughts? Okay, so I have a question here. Why did this happen? Why did it happen all that way? And then we got to the part where Christ was born, but now he came from a woman, from the womb of a woman, and then God was his father. I mean, what does that mean to you? You know, does that make any sense to you?
No.
Doesn't make any sense, huh? Anybody? Does it make any sense to them, to any one of us here?
What, the 14 thing?
No, we're off the 14. Jen will do some research on that one. But we're talking about Mary. Mary gave birth to Christ and Jesus was born of Mary, but we see in other parts of the scripture where he was the son of God. You know, what does all that mean to you?
To me, this part was, you know, it was prophesied that the Messiah would come born of a virgin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus came to fulfill the law and also to be the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. So mm-hmm. instead of us, our flesh, dying on a cross to pay for it, God came, he robed himself in flesh and allowed that flesh to die for our sins as the ultimate sacrifice. So I see it as a way to basically
with the law of Moses, they were sacrificing animals year after year after year. And Jesus came to be that ultimate sacrifice. So I see it as a way to just like I was saying, to complete the law and to bring us into the New Testament, into a new covenant.
Okay.
And this generation is the, what else I want to say? That was the 14th generation, right? The 14th tribes and what have you that we just talked about. So this was the New Testament that Jesus came. So I agree with Jen on this one here, that Jesus came now for us to believe in him and to have life everlasting. So it's really the most important of all, this testament that came here. This is what I believe Martin Luther took and went about, right? And nailed on every door in Germany, house, that they could understand what and who Jesus is and what the gospel is about. From Matthew, go down. So that's my take.
What is interesting is Mary had Jesus, not Joseph, because Jesus wasn't from Joseph's blood. It was the Holy Spirit that impregnated Mary. But yet the lineage here said Joseph. Always that was always a question in my mind too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think it's also like, you know, the Jews at that time were so focused on genealogies, like, oh, I'm the son of Abraham, I'm the son of whatever. Yeah. And so Matthew goes through all these genealogies, like, oh, look at the lineage you have. But yeah. Jesus, you know, that is broken because now he's the son of God. He's not just the son of all these other people. Yes, he's the son of David, the son of men, mm-hmm. through that genealogy. But it's not just that. It's not just who your mm-hmm. father was, who your grandfather was, you know? And this goes back to what we were saying earlier about we're adopted into this. We now have a part of the family. We weren't physical Jews born into it, but now we can be spiritually brothers and sisters
mm-hmm.
through the same lineage because now we're all the children of under God.
Yeah, I like what y'all are sharing there because it's especially what Avalon and Jen just said at the end there. I can tie that into to something that is critical and important. If we look at how Christ functioned in that time, genealogy must have been really, really on the lips of all these people. It was so important because it's like it almost determined who you were, you know? Are you Mr. So-so-so or are you just from an ordinary flock? You know, this made all the difference. Remember in olden times, royalty meant a lot. You know, people like you and me would have been nobody in the world because it was all about royalty. And so what is interesting is that the Pharisees tried to use this against Christ. This whole genealogy issue, they tried to use it against Christ because when he was doing all his things and he says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, who, you? You're the son of the carpenter.
Yeah.
You know, you ain't even from good stock. You're nobody. You're the son of a carpenter from down the road, you know? So you're not even from good stock. You're not even from good enough stock to say, well, you are like the son of Abraham or you came from that genealogy, but you're talking about how you're the bread that came down from heaven. So I think that hits the nail on the head in terms of the importance that they gave to this genealogy thing. And they were wrong in even saying that, because if you look in the scripture here, you see where Christ wasn't the son of Jacob. You follow me? He wasn't the son of Joseph. He really wasn't the physical son of Joseph either. You know, but yet they were telling him, you're the son of the carpenter. Joseph was a carpenter. You're the son of the carpenter. You ain't really nobody. You can't come in here and tell us how we should live and how we should obey the laws of God. So that's a very, very good point. You know, the importance of genealogy in the world. What's that?
He was the son of God.
Right. He was the son of God, you know. But he came from where? From the house of David.
David.
He came from the house of David. So this shows you that he was from the
lineage of David.
Right. And he was from the house of David, because the scriptures predicted that, that he was from the house of David. And so he was from the house of David. Even though David was his Lord, he was David's Lord, because David said, you know, to my Lord, when David was talking to him in the, in the Old Testament. So that's interesting. This here proves that he was from the house of David. And this is substantiated with the genealogy that exists there. So that's what I would say, take from it that way. Good. Any other thoughts on this one? All right, so let's go on to 18, verse 18. We have some more time. So let's go to verse 18. Maybe we will get through to the end of this chapter before we close today. Let's go to verse 18. Let's get another reader to help Anna. Now that she's
powerful, that's all the name.
I have a different Bible altogether. I don't have a King James. It would be different. So.
All right.
Whoever have a King
Eric,
James.
Eric, you want to help us read?
He's muted. He's
muted, Eric.
Just make sure you read in English and no French.
Excuse me, I have to go back and take something and come back. Sorry.
No problem.
I just have a phone call.
Yeah, you go ahead. We will continue by the time. Okay. Somebody else wants to pick up the slack for Eric in his absence?
I can read.
Great.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was false to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
Okay, so let's see if we can stop there for a minute. So the scripture in verse 18 here tells us, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. So now we understand the lineage of the genealogy, we go into his birth, just like how we were born. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, so we know from this that Mary and Joseph, they were engaged to be married, okay? So after they were engaged to be married, before they came together, that means they didn't probably have sex. Before they had sex, Mary was found with child. So Mary was pregnant without having sex with Joseph. And she was with child of the Holy Spirit. Do we believe that?
What I keep thinking when I hear that, what it must have been like for the two of them.
What's that? Was that
what it must have been like for the two of them, Mary and Joseph, in that situation. And I know a lot of times people think about Joseph, but I think of Mary being like, what's going on in here? Like in her stomach, finding out she's pregnant, even though she knows she's never had sex, knowing what people will think of her. Then together with Joseph, how do you get your husband to believe that, that you didn't have sex with anyone?
I think that's why the angel had to come tell him directly, because I don't think he would have believed her by himself.
Yeah, because he was going crazy to know that somebody slept with her, remember? He was going crazy.
He was angry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Joseph was upset when he found out Mary was pregnant.
And he wanted to leave. He wanted to, you know, he was totally annoyed and angry. And then that's how the angel came about and said, you know, chill, my dear friend. It's all good.
He hit her first. You know, when he found out she was pregnant, Joseph had to hide Mary.
Yes.
And then the angel came and told him while he was thinking about this, like, I'm sure for him, it's probably, what is going on?
Yeah.
Pregnant.
Well, I'm the only man here right now because Eric just slipped away. But imagine you're going out with a girl, she comes and she tells you she's pregnant and you haven't had sex with her, all right? just think as a guy, you know, what you'd be thinking. You'd be thinking, what? You know, you'd be thinking, this is not possible. And then she tells you, worst of all, well, you know, I didn't have sex with anybody. And you'd be like, yeah, right. You didn't have sex with anybody. You didn't have sex with me, but you're pregnant. What kind of fast one are you trying to pull on me here? And I've heard other women say that to her, that they got pregnant without having sex. I knew somebody who was making that point. I knew a woman who was actually making that point. She was saying that she got pregnant without having sex. You know? And I remember my grandmother, who I love up to the day that she died. She died about 20 years ago, but she was like one of the sweetest people I ever met in my life. I remember my grandmother saying to her, so that means you were conceived, because my grandmother was like, how could you be making that statement? Because that lady was insisting that she was pregnant without having sex. So what I'm saying is, and everybody thought she was mad, all right? So what I'm saying is that the pressure that would have existed on both parties, on Joseph, because he was engaged to her, and it's not in the modern era. This is 2,000 years ago. When I was a little kid, any girl got pregnant without even being married, it was considered to be one of the worst things that could happen to a woman at that time.
Yep.
She was ostracized from the society. Yes. The family was considered to be living in shame. It was a really terrible experience for a young lady for that to happen to them. And that was just a few years ago. Imagine 2,000 years ago what I would have
done. Yeah. Yeah.
It's really a crazy situation here, but I'm asking a simple question. Do you really believe that this happened? Because this virgin birth is a massive issue in the world. There are many people who say this is not possible, that this could never happen. Do we really believe that this happened? That's my question. I mean, it sounds like a great story, but is this like a Disney production of some kind of fairy tale fantasy? Or is this the truth? Do you really believe that this happened?
Well, I believe it happened, because in order to believe it happened, how would you believe in Jesus Christ?
So Sybil believes it happens. Any other views? Other questions on this?
This is what pretty much Christianity hinges on, you know? It was prophesied in the Old Testament, and everything led up to this moment. And then the rest of the New Testament is talking about Jesus and how we're supposed to live and how to live in him and trust in him. So if you don't believe this part, then it's hard to believe everything else.
Yeah, because then you can't believe in Jesus, you know, because that's what it is about. He came like that. And also the Muslim people, they believe in the birth of Jesus, the same, you know, and Mary was conceived just like this, the Holy Spirit.
They believe it too. Yeah, that's correct.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They believe it too. Is you a Muslim or you are Muslim or are Muslim?
I'm everything.
You're everything. What do you think of this? I just would like to hear what you thought of.
I was skeptical. I'll be honest. I was skeptical, but then this is going to go a little off topic.
Fine. Feel free to go off topic.
No, I do believe in it because. And this is what I wanted to share with you guys, Avalon. Okay. remember we talked about my neighbor?
Yes.
Yes.
We prayed about it?
Yeah.
The only way that happened was because we prayed and I believed. My neighbor is moving.
Oh. Wow.
Well, I believe.
Wow. Are you serious?
Wow.
Use my French. I shit you not.
Wow.
They're moving by the end of October.
Wow. That's insane.
That's so interesting.
Avalon, you knew this?
No, she didn't want to tell me. She said
That's interesting.
No, I wanted to share with everybody because we had a conversation and we prayed about it, Sybil.
Yes, we did. Wow.
And I prayed about it too. And two nights ago, her daughter, she's 13, she actually had sort of somewhat texted me and said she has something to share with me. And at first I thought it was, you know, someone was dying of cancer, or I don't know. I was eventually she spilled the beans because I said, well, you can't start a conversation like that and then not continue. And she eventually then told me, and then they got on a call with the daughter and they told me that they are moving into their mom's house. Yeah.
So you're happy?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, that's good news.
Okay. No, so now you asked me, do I believe? Yes, I believe there is a God, because prayer and that really, I mean, I'm still in shock. I am still in shock. So I do believe.
Well, let me ask you a tough question, Z.
Uh-oh.
If the phone rang tonight and the person said they were not moving again, they changed their mind, would your belief become unbelief?
Ah, great question.
I think I would still believe. I think I would still believe because there has been some stuff that has that I have prayed about and I have asked God to, you know, change my perspective on things.
That's wonderful.
So it's difficult. It's a challenge. I'm not going to lie. but I do believe that there is someone up there. There has to be.
Right.
There has to be. I mean, it's just sometimes I shake my head, you know. So, yes, I would still.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that you're going to get some relief from that issue. That's really good news that you're going to get some relief from the issue. And I hope your new neighbor that you get doesn't bring those issues to you, because I know it's very difficult when we have neighbors and they're not treating us the way that we should be treated, or they're making life difficult for us. So that's good. That's really good news in all seriousness. And that's a great answer, an answer to prayer. And it's an answer to prayer in many different ways, because, you know, we pray for things that we want, but hopefully it's an answer to their prayers too, because they may have issues that they are not going to be able to deal with as a result of them moving. And I'm glad for you. I'm really glad for you.
Gary, I swear to you, like that night when Sybil prayed and I told you guys and we all prayed together, you know, I don't know, for some reason, maybe I felt the presence, or I just felt it and I continued praying about it. And it was just, I was in shock. I mean, I wanted to tell Avalon as soon as possible, but I was like, no, let me hold this. Let me just share this with the group, because
you would appreciate it. Really great. And as a matter of fact, I remember you telling us that, maybe I'm mistaken here, I don't even think you thought the odds of her moving were great, of the person moving were great. I don't even think you thought the odds of them moving would have been high. You said that the odds of them moving wasn't very high, right?
Yeah.
You were not expecting it at all.
Absolutely.
Was that the time when I also shared that I had a situation at my apartment, and then when
that
I came back
time,
from...
Yes.
Yes.
And when I came back from Germany, the person was gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was, it's such a relief that I know that when, you know, I put a wreath on my door, she's not going to put the same wreath on her door.
Yeah.
Or if I put my lights on my balcony, she's not going to put the same, you know, similar lights on her balcony. Or if I decide to put a bunch of herbs out on my balcony, she's not going to do the same.
Does she dress like you too as well?
Yes.
That's scary.
Boiler rabbit.
What's that, Jen?
So that's scary. That's like one of those things you see in one of those Hallmark movies before the person disappears, like they start taking over your life.
When you've got a rabbit boiling on your stove.
But the good thing about it, Z, is that maybe she admires you a lot.
You know, that's what everyone has said. You know, it's just an admiration. I'm like, find your own style. I don't know if that's admiration.
That's talking.
I mean, I've had my house blessed. I've poured salt outside. I've put...
You sound like a Trinidadian.
She wanna drive Sukunya. Yeah.
You remind me of my mom used to do a lot of stuff like that. She believed in that stuff.
Yes, I do. Wait for the moon and you put like little things in the window sill. I mean, garlic, hung stuff.
Do you know anything about that?
I know.
Okay, good. Anna probably doesn't know anything about this stuff.
No, but I think the first contact I had with anything like that with your family was when I think I had a string of bad luck and they told me I need a bush bath. I need a bush bath.
What is the bush bath? Because I might have that. I might go do that just to celebrate.
Gary had a bush bath. Anna, did he ever tell you he had a bush bath?
Gary had a bush bath?
I think so. When he comes back, ask him. From what I remember,
It's different kind of bush. They have to pick leaves, you know?
Yeah.
Any kind of leaves. Different kind of leaves that they pick. And they got to boil it, right, Abby?
Okay. Yeah, boil. You put it in water.
Remove the curse from you, right?
Yeah, whatever.
Take the bush out of the water. You.
But Abby, you know, we never did that. Did you ever get a bush bath?
Never.
We never believe in stuff like that, you see. We never.
It's a special person, does it?
Muslim people are crazy. They don't believe in that.
Where do I find these? This bush leaves. Where do I find these leaves?
In the West Indies, Trinidad.
I don't think you want to try that.
Gary, you had a bush bath, right?
Didn't you? Yeah, I had all kinds of things in my time. Didn't have anything that I wouldn't try. You want to hear about it, Z, what a bush bath is like?
Please, I want to die.
So the Obia man, you ever heard of an Obia man? You ever heard of Obia?
Yeah.
Obia is supposed to be this.
Like voodoo, right?
Yes, like voodoo.
Okay.
Yeah. So they take you and they put you in a little room, all right, where there's a shower, and they put you to stand up. They strip you naked as you're born, and then they take leaves and they throw water on you and they rub all your body with those leaves. And what they're doing is they're removing any blight that you have on your body or any bad vibes that you have that people give you. They rub you all over with it and stuff like that. They spin you to the east, spin you. It's all rooted in beliefs years ago that you know, there are spirits and stuff like that that are impacting you and that are bringing you down and making your life difficult. So they rid you from those spirits. They believe that they rid you from those spirits. So years ago, when I had no belief, if I could put it that way, my belief was kind of like scatterboxed. Yeah, I would try anything. Hey, try a bush bath too. Why not? Of course, the only thing that it does is it just makes you feel like you took a shower. That's it. Yeah. But it's a lot of crazy stuff. I've seen, and it's a good thing that I to me, it's a good thing that I tried a lot of things because it kind of gives you a knowledge and an understanding of things. And then when God calls you after that, you see a complete difference. And you look back on what you thought was so smart or so good or whatever, and you realize it was all a big joke.
And you repent.
Sorry?
Yeah. I say you repent for what you did.
Yeah. And I mean, those things, I believe, do work. But I believe that...
Oh, and my dad was going to get a heart attack before, remember?
Oh, yeah. I used to do all kinds of things. Yeah. Like, there was one time when I used to, like, when I started doing types of meditation, and I could sit with somebody and envision things. And Avalon's father, I saw him getting a heart attack, and I told him about it, and he got a heart attack. Yeah. It was scary stuff, you know. Really scary. I was meditating on him, and I saw a line across his chest. All kinds of crazy things happen in that part of the world. That's why, you know, it's good to stay away from it now.
Yeah.
You know, but the scripture tells us that there's a world like that that does exist.
Yeah.
The problem with it is that it exists and it happens. The things that are said happen, and then one day they don't. And that's when you get completely let down, because the devil lies all the time. So he always puts a little bit of truth in the middle of his lies to make you buy into it.
Well, I have the devil living next to me, and I'm glad that.
Well, if the best way to deal with it is anytime you see you have a situation like that, is to pray about it, which is what you've been doing, and also to ask God to help you to see the person in a different light too, as well.
Yes,
that works.
No, I have. I definitely have, and you know, I definitely have prayed about her, and I've forgiven her for even just the last incident that had happened. I believe she owes me an apology, which she probably will not. And the less I see her, the less we have, the less communication we have. I love her daughter. I absolutely love her daughter. It's got nothing to do with the daughter. Her daughter grew up in front of me, us. She absolutely adored my great Dane, Max. So it has nothing, like I said, it's got nothing to do with the daughter. The mother owes me an apology for the last thing that happened. So I have moved on from that. I'm counting down my calendar, marking it down till when they leave. I wish them well. I don't wish them any bad luck or evil or anything like that. Because I just feel like that comes back to you.
Are you going to keep in touch? Are they going to try to keep in touch with you? No, I'm asking because it sounds like if the person likes to talk to you. No.
Her daughter does.
Her daughter.
Yes, her daughter would like to stay in touch with me. I mean, they're moving up to Edgemont.
Okay.
They're also, her daughter is very excited for me to one day get a puppy. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'll have to pray about it.
Yes, that's the best approach. Yeah. That's interesting. So from your experience, that helps to cement your faith. It helps to increase your faith.
Yes.
And if that's what God uses to increase your faith, then that's how it will be, because he uses different things in each of our lives. And I don't know if that would be a central part of it, but it may or may not be. But again, it's God's call. And how he works with you is going to be different from how he works with me or how he works with Jen. So it's your personal relationship with him with it. But it's good that at least you're going to get some relief and that you feel like your presence with it in that regard. I think this is a good opportunity for you to actually pray more about it too.
Yeah.
Gary,
like I'm still in shock. Like I still can't believe it. Like I had the thought of like, do I move? Because it's just horrible to live in a situation, just to live like your next door neighbor. She's like a foot away from me.
Yeah. You
know, it's not pleasant. And I thought, okay, do I move? But why should I move? You know, they should move. You know, and I'm just like, I'm just going to pray about this. Let's see what happens. And then it actually happened. And I was like, oh my God, that is just, I want to run naked down the street. Like, you know. I'm ready to pack for them.
Sound like a German. Rebecca.
Hi.
I know you're there because I felt your presence, but I didn't hear much of your voice. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Any thoughts to share with us on what we're discussing with respect to belief related to how Mary was impregnated?
Well, you know, nothing is impossible with God.
I love how you put that.
Right.
I love how you put that.
That's my take on it. Nothing is impossible with God. This is God's work. Okay. And, you know, I was reading in Luke, I strayed from where you guys were in Matthew and came into Luke where before Mary got pregnant, the angel appeared to her, okay, and told her that she was going to bear the son. So in Matthew, it doesn't say that, but in Luke, it does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is all God's work, you know, and I truly believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because this is, as I said, nothing is impossible with God. He created this to bring his son into the world by the Virgin Mary. It was all God's plan. It is all God's work.
Well, Gary, I think Jen got kicked out. She's asking if you could let her back in.
Oh, yeah, I noticed she was gone.
Okay. I got her back in now. I didn't see her coming up here, but she was there. Great. Welcome back, Jen.
Thanks. I had to switch devices, sorry.
Yes, Rebecca, I love how you put it, because you're noting that nothing is impossible with God, because I think that's the answer. You know, I can't believe this on my own. And it's only with faith. It's only through the faith that God puts in me that I can really believe in this virgin birth. Otherwise, it's still focused to me.
Can I add something to that?
Sure.
I agree with what you've just said, because what you've both just said, because if you look at the Bible and everything that's written in it, a woman given birth without having sexual intercourse is no less crazy than, from a human point of view, than any of the other things written in the Bible.
Right.
So to me, it's like, unless God puts that faith in us, and he's the one, you know, we could credit for that, because it doesn't come on our own, because none of this makes sense on our own. I mean, people talking to you or voices talking to you from bushes, or, you know, commandments being written on stones from this, like, none of those things make any sense to a human mind. Like, there's no rational explanation for them that way. So, and I mean, the same way that now science finds ways, and I know that, Gary, because you always like to watch, you know, these sort of shows about scientific discoveries that can prove certain Bible passages, like how they could have happened, like how Noah could have built a ship that way with the dimensions and stuff, or how, you know, they could have walked through the Red Sea, could have split, and they could have the stories, the scientific advances afterwards that allow us to reconstruct how this happened. So the same way I could believe that this happened, the same way I could believe this other thing happened, because it's just, to us otherwise, it would be equally crazy. I mean, to believe this otherwise with a human mind is just, would be crazy.
So anybody who knows me knows one thing about me, that I have a very, very vivid imagination. I mean, super vivid. I could experience things sitting here that most people will have to experience actually being involved in it. So I remember when Anna and I, we were sailing on a cruise through the Suez Canal, which is between Israel and Egypt, and Jordan and Egypt. We're sailing through that passageway, and I'm on the ship looking out at the water, and I'm only thinking of the Red Sea pattern. I'm only thinking of the Red Sea pattern and the Israelites walking through the ocean and then closing on Pharaoh and these guys. And if you see that area, you see how massive that area is, how deep it is, because we're on this magnificent ship going through that area. You know, it's almost something impossible to visualize, but I'm sitting down and visualizing it. And I'm thinking God would have done all this type of stuff. But the reason why I'm saying that is because there are so many things in the Bible about things that when we start seeing it in before us, then it makes so much more sense, because we hear, okay, God parted the Red Sea, and you think, well, yeah, it's just a little part and they walk through. But when you see the actual sea, you're like, whoa, how did that happen, you know? Now, I'm asking if we believe this for a reason. I know it's going to be very difficult for anybody to say, well, yeah, I kind of believe it or whatever. Some of us may believe it. Some of us may be sure or whatever, you know. But I want to say something. We don't always have to have Avalon, Anna, Eric, Z, Rebecca, Sybil, Jen. We don't always have to have perfect belief in things. There are times when we read stuff and we could think, God, did you really do that? Is that really true? You know, and I don't think God holds that against us.
No, he does.
As human beings, we have belief. But I was watching something the other day, and there was this minister who made a statement that I think is so important for us. He made it for me, and I really, really love this statement. And that he was saying that if anybody is uncertain of any of this, like the virgin birth and so forth, he wasn't talking about this, he's talking about something else, but it applies here. If we're uncertain about it, that is what? That is our unbelief, okay?
Right.
And we could feel comfortable instead of denying it and saying, I'm not talking about in a group here, but instead of denying ourselves and saying, well, okay, we believe, because we just don't want to think that maybe we don't. We can feel comfortable going to God and saying, you know, God, thanks for the belief in what I believe in. help my unbelief.
You're right.
Because our unbelief needs to be helped too. And that's what makes us, that's what Christ came for, is for our unbelief, not just for our belief.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that don't feel like, oh, you're not the virgin birth. I'm afraid to say, or I'm afraid to think that it didn't happen. If your unbelief is as such, then go to God with it and ask Him to help your unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
So that your unbelief could become your belief. Because that is humility too before God that I'm sure God would love from us. For us to be straight with Him rather than pretend, you know, oh, you know what, God, I believe that. At this time, we have no belief whatsoever in it. All right? So I thought I would share that with us. All right, let's continue now. We're in verse 22. Oh, well, no, before we go there, just one thing. Oh, yeah. And the final two verse, the final verse of the scripture. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. So what is his name? Jesus, all right? And he will save his people from their sins. So he came to save who from the sins? His people? Who are his people?
Who are his people?
Huh?
We are his people.
Oh, who do we?
The Gentiles.
Me, you, Anna, Rebecca, Z, Eric, Jen.
So did Christ come for just us?
No, he came for the whole world.
For the whole world?
Yeah.
The Gentiles
and the Jews, the Greeks,
and
the believers.
But why does he say that he will save his people? Why does he say he will save everyone?
Whoever he called, he
saved. Whoever he calls.
So
his people would be the ones that he chooses, all
right?
Right. So you see, he is the one who saved us. It's not we saving ourselves.
Amen.
He saved us from our sins. It's not we save ourselves from our sins. The more I read the scripture, the more the scripture keeps pointing me to that. Let's go on because we're getting late. 22, verse 22. Who wants to be a reader? Not a millionaire, just a reader.
I can read.
Thanks, Avalon.
So
Eric. Well, next time Eric will read, all right? I'll be reading now.
Okay.
Eric read.
Oh, I want Eric to read.
Yeah. I like to hear Eric read with his accent. He's muted.
Verse 22?
Yes, verse 22. You're taking us on the home run here. Verse 22 to 24. To 25, sorry.
25 or 22?
22.
22.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that's four books to read. Four verses.
Okay, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin should be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translate God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord command him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her still, she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Amen.
So we see that the two things happen here. Later on, earlier on, Rebecca shared with us in the Gospel of Luke, where Mary had like a warning, and she knew what was going to happen to her. And that was very good for us to learn to understand that. And now we're seeing to another side here. So verse 22, so all this was done for a reason, as Jen told us earlier, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So the virgin shall be with child. Have you ever thought of how Mary was impregnated? I mean, it's a topic that we don't even like to think of. How was Mary impregnated? Was there any physical activity, or was it just something spiritual that happened with her? It's stuff that our minds don't even like to think about, but it's all interesting to for each one of us to think about these things privately, I guess. But I'm just saying, you know, these are thoughts that are real, depending on our belief. But the virgin was with child and bore a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Somebody was saying something? Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, Anna, so we saw where Anna had a concern about Mary, and I expressed a concern about Joseph. And Joseph was aroused from sleep, the angel commanded him and took him to his wife. So we don't know if maybe there was some issue between Mary and Joseph. Maybe they had a fallout, as Avram was implying. Maybe he was like, this can't work, you know, I give up on you, you know, I engage you, and now you're gone, and you're having a baby, you're gone, I'm busting it, moving on from this. But you see here, Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. So he actually married Mary. Okay. There's other scriptures that tells us that he was concerned at that point for her welfare, because he knew that she might have even been stoned to death.
Yeah.
So he married her to cover everything, and did not know her, and he still did not have sex with her during the period of time that she, because to know somebody biblically, I think, is to have sex, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. So they didn't have any kind of sexual relationship until Christ was born. And he called his name Yeshua. Any thoughts?
You know, Gary, I like verse 19. Before the angel came to Joseph, how Joseph was going to handle the situation, he was going to take her privately, put her away secretly, and not make her a public example, you know, for people to laugh and scorn and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Before the angel came, this was his thought, you know, that she was found with child, and it says, and Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away privately, like secretly, you know, so people wouldn't scorn and laugh. But then the angel came and spoke to Joseph.
Yep. It says that Christ was born into a really, really nice family too. Because Joseph didn't think, oh, you know what, the pregnant does it, I'm going to stand up. Because he could have probably led the charge of people and say, okay, let's go stone her. She did this against my will or whatever. And we need to get rid of her. But he didn't take that approach. Clearly, he was very considerate of her situation. He knew what she would have been subjected to even before. And he was still willing. He must have loved her too. So Christ was born from a wholesome group in that sense. You know, Mary was considered to be very wholesome in that sense, because she was chosen, you know, the handmaiden of the Lord. Any other thoughts?
Well, the Virgin Mary, when we've been hearing it since we were kids. And it was like a fairy tale to me at first, you know, like Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. It was like a fairy tale. But then when I started to believe the Bible, it never occurred to me that it wasn't true. You know, it was always, as Rebecca say, nothing is impossible with God. And Mary being conceived of the Holy Spirit, I never wondered how it happened. If it was that a spiritual angel came and had sex with her, what? I never wondered that. All I knew, it was in the Bible, and God said it so, and it was so. And I believed it. I never questioned it.
So you believed it even then?
At first, it wasn't real to me. It was like a fairy tale. Because I've been hearing this since I was a child. And then when I got older, it was no longer a fairy tale. It was real. Because it was in the Bible, and the Bible is the word of God. That is God. That is God's word, God talking to us. And I believed it.
Okay.
Everything
that was written there.
Okay.
And Avalon, you know, I like how you said you don't know if the angel had sex with Mary, but you know, remember how God created the earth, spoke and it was done.
Yes.
He commanded and it stood fast. Mm-hmm. So it's the same way with Mary, you know, he planted that seed, you know, in Mary.
Without touching her.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Because several things were done in the Bible like that. As you say, look how we did make the day and the night by just his word. And also by Adam. He put Adam to sleep. How did he put Adam to sleep to take that one rib out of his body to put into Eve?
Oh, right.
You know, so it was, he did it. He probably said, fall asleep. Whatever it was of that nature, that kind, you know?
Right.
So we have things that we know and things that we don't know, and, mm-hmm. and what God chooses for us to know, He chooses, and what He chooses for us not to know, we may not necessarily know it.
But He's God.
Jen,
yes.
If you're here with us still,
she's there.
Jen? Oh, she probably slipped away. Okay, so the thing about it is that why as we're about to close, my question here is, why all of this? Maybe Anna, you could share your thoughts with us on this. Why all of this taking us right down to how Jesus was born? Why all of this, guys, on all these details to get to the point of Jesus' birth?
You're asking why does the scripture give us all these details?
Yeah, all these details to take us right down to the birth of Christ.
Okay, to give us...
Well, what I think is that this is the first book of the New Testament, and this lays the groundwork for the rest of Matthew. Because he shows us the Jewish lineage coming down, and then he tells us at the end of it all, but wait, this is not just about the Jews. There's more to go here. And that's when he comes in, for he will save his people from their sins.
Their sins, yeah.
So now he lays the foundation of, yes, I came out of the house of David and so forth, but from here on in now, I'm going to tell you that I was born for a purpose, and keep that in mind. I didn't come from Jacob directly. I came from,
David?
Joseph directly.
Okay.
Yeah, from Joseph directly. I it was Mary, and she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And now I'm born, and now he's laying the groundwork for what will happen. And the point that I want to raise here is that Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. Christ was also the firstborn of Mary.
Mary, yeah.
So he was the firstborn of Mary, and he's the only begotten son of God. Mm-hmm. And he called his name Jesus, which means?
Emmanuel.
What does Jesus mean, guys?
He will save his people from their sins.
Prince of Peace.
Prince.
What does it mean? Prince of Peace? Emmanuel.
Emmanuel is God with us. Jesus is
I'm Googling it.
Oh. To answer that question.
Y'all don't know what Jesus means?
We're Googling it.
It means Savior.
Savior. To save the world from this sin. Yeah,
all right. Savior.
Yeah. I know we all know that, you know, but it was kind of difficult to get it for some reason. But I know we all know that. Please give us an A on that one, Gary.
All right. So basically, it comes down at the end of the first chapter where he says, he called his name Jesus. He called his name Savior. So this is how our Messiah is born. And now, when we go to chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, we will follow up on this and we will try to understand. So what I was suggesting at the start is that maybe this could trigger all of us into trying to read the whole scripture on our own. As Jen was saying, I wish she was here still because she could help us through that part. But as Jen was saying, you know, it's really a good, it's not a bad practice if we could do it. I think we should try to read the scripture at least once. Yeah. At least once we should have that as an objective. And it's not necessary to replace the Bible study and prayer that we do, but just so that we read it. Because you can't really read the Bible as a book alone. You know, it's here a little, there a little, but it's also useful to do it. Get familiar with it. I don't know what your thoughts are on reading the Bible, guys.
When you read cover to cover, like I have started from Genesis, and by the time I got to like Numbers, I'm like, I was all lost and confused. I couldn't understand anything. Especially when they start going to, they like to quote a lot of genealogy in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I am very comfortable in the New Testament. You know,
I was talking, when you get to like Numbers and Deuteronomy and all these chapters,
and Hebrews and Romans and Corinthians and all those things, I'm very comfortable in it. But I have to agree with Avalon, it's totally confusing.
Yeah, and it's when you start reading it too, it's like all these cruel, gruesome things that
that happen
that God does. God does to people. I mean, allows to happen to people.
Because people were disobedient. But I've been reading, I've been studying. I am now in Romans. I started in Matthew, and I've been studying the New Testament. And then I will go back to the Old, because it have times I started on the Old Testament and then stop a certain way. You know, but right now I'm trying to complete the New Testament, and this is my second Bible study group. I have a Bible study on Wednesday night also.
Oh, wow.
What we are studying right now is the Revelation and things that that is revealed in Revelation. Mm-hmm. So
that's a hard one too for me to understand Revelation. So I wish you all the
Yeah, and it's not that difficult, you know, it's not that difficult. Revelation started off, it's on the revelation of Jesus Christ through John, you know, and I mean, some parts of it you will need help in, like people to explain things to you and simplify things to you, you know, because at some point it might be confusing. But once you get the understanding of it, it's not that confusing at all.
Like all these beasts on your head, or the what is it called?
The kingdom. The beasts with the seven heads and the ten horns.
Horns and
yes, yes.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, though. I find that to be so intriguing.
Yeah, it is, right?
Very intriguing. But I understand what you say, but you know what I found? This is me again personally. I find that the books of the Old Testament are very interesting too. But
it's again, very interesting, yeah.
Again, it always, these things are always interesting when you are interested in the topic. Like, right. For example, if Z is going through a particular problem now, okay? And and the topic for her might be neighbors, okay? And she finds in the Bible God's references to neighbors. You may have to go to the Old Testament and see how it worked then to understand it better. That's how I find it really comes alive. I know it's very difficult to read the Bible cover to cover. That's a really, really hard task. And I'm not going to ask anybody to do it because I myself have difficulty doing it. But I think it's not a bad idea to do it. You see what I'm saying? But I prefer to study the scripture by topic or pick an area and read. And try to understand. But it's all up to you. But I'm saying that if anybody has a goal of doing that, this is a good place to start.
I think God would like us to read the Bible. You think he has a way for us to read it?
Well, I think that Bible study is very, very critical with God. But I don't think that it's a one-size-fits-all with God. It all depends on the person. Like, for example, Jen might be a person who is very, Jen is a very very logical human being. She has a really mathematical mind. And she's very, like, super structured in that sense. She's a computer person. So it's very logical for her to go through stuff really logically. And that's super admirable.
And she remembers everything.
What's that?
She remembers everything.
Yeah, not all of us may have that level of desire or logic to do things that particular way. So it all depends on the individual, you know. I don't think it's a cookie cutter thing. So I think what you should do, what we should do, what each person could do is, I think the important thing is that we study the scripture. That's absolutely a given for everybody. But how we do it, you know, you could try different ways and see how you feel more comfortable. One of the things I like doing right now, guys, and for the last like six months to a year, I've done a lot of it this way, is I like popping headphones into my ears, picking a chapter and pressing play on my iPhone and just listening to it.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Over and over you listen to it?
Not necessarily. Like, I might pick a chapter and just listen to a chapter. That's one way that I do. Mm-hmm. I would just listen to a chapter, okay, and just listen to the whole thing. Or listen to three chapters or four chapters or five chapters. Mm-hmm. It's like reading, but except you listening. But it's the same thing. It's like an audiobook then.
Yeah.
That's
really
one
nice idea.
Yeah, that's one. What I do. I don't even know if I share that with you, Anna, but that's what I do sometimes. Okay? That's one way I do study. Another, sorry? I
fall asleep.
Huh?
I do that sometimes, but I fall asleep.
There's no barrier. There's absolutely no barrier. If you do that and you fall asleep, that's fantastic. It's better to fall asleep that way than to fall asleep stressed out. So there's
right.
nothing wrong with that. Plus two, I think sometimes we forget. When you're in that period between sleep and wake, your body can intake information in a much better way sometimes than when you're physically conscious and alert, because your brain starts easing off and going into a sort of a meditative state. And so the information that you're hearing coming in, you may not consciously realize it, but that could go into your subconscious. So it's much better than falling asleep with a Dracula movie on TV. So there's nothing, I don't think you need in any way to feel bad about that. I think that's a good thing. I think that's a really, really good thing. In fact, it's not bad if you play those words in your ears even while you're sleeping, because you might think you're not hearing it because you're not conscious.
Yeah.
But your brain is actually intaking it even while you're sleeping. So there's nothing wrong with that at all, Adlon. And in fact, that happens to me too as well, you know? More power to you if you do that. It's much better than not doing it at all, in my opinion. And then that's one way I do it. And then another way is that I pick a topic and start studying it. Okay? And another way I do it is I do what I learned from my mom. She calls cutting the Bible. You just take the Bible, you hold it, and you just randomly open it, and wherever it lands, you start studying that. Wherever it could land in Leviticus, it could land in John, you just start reading right where it lands. Sometimes you just ask God too. You know, you say, Father, show me something that could help me in my life today. And you just, I mean, that might sound crazy. You close your eyes and you just open the scripture. And wherever you pick up the finger points, you start reading. And I found sometimes, why are you laughing, Alan?
Yes, I remember this joke where someone opened the Bible and went and hung himself. And then you close it and you open it again. And I said, go ye and do likewise.
What was that? I didn't hear.
Oh my God.
I didn't hear.
You missed a good joke. Tell her again, Alvin.
It's in the Bible. You open it and whatever scripture you appears there, you read it and you apply it. And you open the scripture and it says, and Judas went out and hung himself.
Oh boy.
Close it again and you open it again and it says, go ye and do likewise.
Oh boy.
Oh God. I know
know, I came in right at the joke.
Yeah, you all went to the fun. We were talking about different ways, and some people in the group think it's very challenging to read the Bible from cover to cover. So I was saying, not everybody could do it. I mean, some people could. Some people have more logical minds than others. Some find it difficulty in doing it. But I'm saying, if we're comfortable doing it and we feel like we want to challenge ourselves, then it's good. If you can't, then that's up to you. But you might have some tips for us because you've done this a few times.
Yeah, I mean, the first time I did it, it took me a couple of years.
Oh, okay. That makes you feel a little better now.
Yeah, it took me years. Because it's so much, and you're like, what is this? What's going on? But yeah. the more frequently you do it, the easier it is. Okay. But then, yeah. How did I miss this? I just read this last year. I don't know how I didn't see this.
Okay. Do you do it with audio, or do you do it just in reading?
I try to do reading when I first wake up in the morning. So that way it's a couple of chapters uninterrupted and I can think about it during the day. But yeah, I've definitely tried listening to the audio Bible. I've even tried like recording myself reading it and then playing it when I'm getting dressed.
Okay.
So it's like I'm reading the Bible to myself because sometimes
that's great.
You know, sometimes listening to other people's voices, to me, it's just like I can't focus. But if I'm reading it to myself, it's more like thought.
Yeah.
You know, so stuff that I really want to commit to memory, I read it out loud as well.
Yeah.
That way, you know, it becomes more repetitive. I hear it more and it's like, okay.
Right.
But yeah, it takes, like every year I pick a different like Bible reading chart. So sometimes it's, you know, Old Testament first, some New Testament. Sometimes it's mixed in together to try to break it up.
Okay.
But then like, you know, tonight we talked about the why 14 generations. So I'm going to spend time over the next couple of days trying to find that answer. So I probably won't be on my Bible chart, but it'll be, you know, like still going
because
through the Bible.
Remember, you have to report back to us next week.
I will. I already wrote it on my dry erase board. It's on my to-do list. But yeah, sometimes it's, you know, it's like an adventure. Or you talk to someone about something, or you think about something, or you're praying. And then, you know, I also, I have a concordance. And that's, to me, you know, a deep dive, because you'll see something and it's like, oh, this references this verse here, let me go here, and then you see something it references this verse, and then you just keep going. It's like the rabbit hole of following the Bible.
Well, you know, I thank God for the internet, because years ago when a concordance was like your best friend because there was no internet, you had to rely on this massive book.
I have this, I know, I still have it here.
But I don't use a concordance again. I just use the internet, because there are such books on the internet. It's very, very useful, and I would suggest this to you also. Like, what I do is sometimes what I love doing really is when there's a scripture that I really want to understand, I go online and research it. I try to go back to the original version. And there are some places where you get a verbatim translation, because with all the translations that you have, sometimes it gets all muddied up and you can't get the essence out of it. So you go back to the original words and then you try to understand what it means. Because believe it or not, punctuation makes a difference in the Bible. Sometimes something is read like just one line. The meaning changes if the punctuation is in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I find that to be extremely useful to go to the original text. I'm using the original text in inverted commas because, as I told you, in the New Testament, they don't have any original books that were written. They have books that are like dated back to 100 AD. So you could get something really, really valid there, especially in the original language that is written in. That makes such a difference, because when you get the original language, then you start understanding the meaning. But again, it's your relationship that you're developing with God. Try to understand. In other words, if God says something in one language and you're trying to understand it, you try to understand the circumstances around which it's said, because quality and all these things matter. So I try to do that. Again, that's not necessarily for everybody. If you like doing that, that's great. If you don't, then just bypass it. But it's all different ways. I think everybody has a relationship with God. And how you have that relationship is important. Not because I read cover to cover or I read with earplugs in my ears makes me any better or worse than you. It's you and your relationship with God. So these are just ideas. Anybody has any other ideas? Because I think this is very useful, like what we're sharing with each other in terms of ideas for how we can understand the scripture better. Since
this app
started us off with it.
I don't know if everyone has the Bible app. Maybe Z can download it.
Do you have the Bible app?
No, she don't have it. Maybe
you have an iPhone, Z? Oh, then it's very easy. Just download it. It's free. It's free, and there are several versions of the scripture there. And so you can find one that you like or that you feel comfortable with and read from that. But it's really useful. I tell you, since the Bible app came out, it changed my life. Because for me, I always used to have a Bible wherever I go, especially like on a plane, and make sure I walk with my Bible. If I feel like the plane's going to crash, I can open it and read. So I always carried a Bible when I was traveling, and it was always the first thing I would pack for many years. The first thing I put in my suitcase is my Bible. Everything else comes after. And then all of a sudden when the internet came, I didn't need to do that again because it was everywhere I turned. I don't know if we're always going to have access to the Bible, guys. I don't know. You know, I don't know. There are things in the scripture that makes you sometimes wonder. And while we have it, we should value it. It's so abundant now, but we don't know if this will last forever because strange things happen in the world. So I think we should try to make use of it while it's there with us because it's the word of God in print, you know?
Sounds like a movie.
It's the Book of Eli, I know.
Sounds like a movie. That sounds like a movie.
Yeah, the Book of Eli. Did you ever see that movie?
That's a good movie.
No. Oh, the Book of Eli?
I love that movie.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
You never saw it?
I think it was it with this guy?
Denzel.
I saw like an ad with it, but I don't think I saw the whole thing. What is it about?
It's about this guy. Of course.
I don't know. Why are you laughing?
Huh?
Ask Z, tell us about it, Z.
Me?
Yes.
Eric is laughing.
You said it's a great movie.
Yes, it's a good movie.
Eric knows.
Why are you laughing?
Why is everybody defending themselves?
Eric is laughing.
I may have seen it at some point or something.
It's based on an apocalyptic time.
Okay.
And Denzel is the star of the show. And he's just like a prophet or something, right? I saw it a long time ago.
And is it that the Bible becomes extinct?
Pretty much. And like he had it memorized. And so he's on this quest, basically. Like, you don't find out until the end. But basically his quest throughout the whole movie was that there were no more copies of the Bible. So he starts reciting it from the beginning so they can write it down again.
Yeah. Ah, okay. Interesting.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I've been having some problems with my phone, so I missed out a few things you guys were saying. I just got back in.
Okay. They're saying you should go and rent them. Well, not rent a movie. It's now 2020.
Well, I mean, you can read the synopsis. Like, it's...
All right. Okay, guys. Any other thoughts that anybody wants to share on this? I'm asking about it because I don't know if we get another chance. Don't tell me I sound like another poker. I don't know if I'll get another chance. We'll get another chance to just openly have people give us advice on what we could do to do Bible study.
Yeah, but it's good to, you know, hide the word of God in your heart. Like, it does take time to try to memorize things, but if something really resonates with you, you know, it may be worth memorizing. Like, you know, if there's a time when you're sad, read, you know, you can memorize some verses to encourage yourself. So that way, if you can't get to to the Bible real quick, you can't find the verse, like, at least you know how to, you know, encourage yourself in that one, or to give someone an encouraging word or something. Like, you know, I find that helpful to go through and say, what do I know about telling someone about, like, the love of God? Maybe I can find a couple verses and try to commit those to memory. So that way, if anyone asks me, I can go be like, you know what? This is what the Bible says about this in those verses.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anna is just like screaming at me here and telling me, hey, it's 9:30. I want to go and sleep. Just kidding. But I think it is half past nine and we've been going on and on. It's just that for me, this is very, very beneficial because I'm getting to hear from everybody and it's helping me. It will help me, I'm sure, for the future because there's some things that happen at Bible study that really impact me, you know, and I really appreciate it when you guys share with me.
You know how I know that's true? Gary?
How?
Because Eric has had the NBA playing in the background the entire time, and neither you nor him were distracted.
Well, you know something? Can I tell you something, Eric?
Biggest NBA
I did not even notice that Eric had the NBA playing in the background.
I noticed and I messaged him like, your TV's on, what's going on?
I'm a big, big fan, and I didn't even notice it. I'm so focused. It's time for us to shut off, guys. But next week, whose turn is it next week?
Wait, I will look it up.
Anna has this. Z. It's Z's turn, all right?
It is.
I'm just kidding. I'm just scaring Z a little bit.
The next one is Jen.
Jen, okay, good.
Okay.
So, Jen, we look forward to next week. You have a topic to
not yet, but I'll find out about the 14 generations and a topic, and I'll put it in the chat.
Okay, great. Fantastic. We look forward to hearing to you leading us next week. And then after that, it's Eric?
Yes.
Eric normally goes before me, though, right?
No, this is the special...
Jen and then Eric, or Eric and then Jen? How does
normally
it
Normally it's Eric and then me.
I think that was just once because one of you wasn't there, I think. Or maybe I'm wrong, but I have it in this order. I have you, then Eric, then Rebecca, and then it starts over, unless we include Z in the list.
Which we have to include Z. Z, where would you fall in?
I don't know.
All right, so we put Z as at least put her before me the next time around.
Yeah, I put her after Rebecca.
Okay, great. All right, so that's it. We've covered everything.
Topic that you would like us to discuss. You don't have to lead it or anything.
Yeah, Z, what you could do is get a topic that you would like us to discuss when your time comes.
Uh-huh.
And you could share it with us and you could ask anybody in the group to lead the topic if you don't feel comfortable leading it.
Yeah.
Or if you want to lead it, feel free to lead it. And if you could take whatever format you want. If you want it to be a topic where you could ask questions, that's fine. Or a topic that you want to share stuff with us, but just biblical stuff that we try to focus on what God would want us to learn and understand. All right?
Yeah.
You'll have Iran. Z is like, I'm the one who's part of these people again.
The Bible's not supposed to be fun. Not scary.
Look, she's there. No. It's all right.
My head is spinning right now. I'm freaking out. I'm already thinking, what should I do?
No. Just all you have to do is just pick a topic. Any topic that you're interested in finding out about. It could be war. It could be peace. It could be love. It could be happiness. It could be hate. It could be destruction.
It could be dogs.
Whatever you choose as a topic, okay? It could be pets, all right? Although, you know, since we did that Bible study and I talk about a little part on pets, every time Anna sees a pet, she tells me, get away from me, Gary, because you tell me my pets don't love me. All right, who's going to lead us in the closing prayer? Would somebody pray for us tonight and give thanks for what we've been able to share with each other, including what Z was able to share with us? I'd like to ask somebody who I don't want to call any names, of course, but it would be nice if somebody would volunteer out of the normal volunteering group. Do I hear an A? We have plenty A's in the group.
We have four Annas today.
You know what? Let one of them do it. Let one of them do it.
Okay,
Avalon will pray for us. And just one thing I want.
But Eric hasn't closed yet.
Yes, I know. But before that, just one thing I want to say. I want to say that I would also like to ask for each one of us to keep Avalon in prayer, because it seems like her back isn't treating her very well right now. And I didn't realize that it was that bad for her. And I didn't even talk to her during the week because I thought she was just busy doing other things. So it would be nice if we keep her in prayer.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
That would be good. So, okay, so now we go to the closer. Eric?
Yes.
The words of wisdom.
Yes, but really, I don't have anything to say tonight because basically we review the genealogy and we discuss about some topics about Jesus. That means really, I don't have really, really, really something to say. Maybe just a tip to read the Bible, maybe. But personally, what I'm doing is I try to read a little bit the Bible every day, no matter the time. If you can do it when you wake up or during the day when you have a time. Mm-hmm. No matter also the number of chapters, the idea is to create a kind of routine, you know. And also, before to start, if for example you have to read it during the night, it's a good thing also to pray for two things. The first thing, asking God to help you to be focused on what you have to read, because sometimes you start to read and after you start to sleep. But yeah. You can do whatever things, but when you start to read the Bible, at some point you will start to sleep. That means you know from where the thing is coming from. This is why it's important first to pray, and after you start to read. This is the first thing. And the second thing is also important to pray, because the Bible is not a book like the other. You need to pray to ask God, to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand something. Because you can read the Bible just like a normal book, but this is not the idea. It's a spiritual book. That means you can read the same verse 10 times, and 10 times the Holy Spirit can give you a new...
10 different ways, yep.
Exactly. A new meaning, a new explanation about the same verse. This is why it's really important, before you start to read your Bible, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open your mind, to open your understanding, to renew your understanding in order for you to understand the truth of the Bible.
Amen.
I'm amazed that you just started off by saying you don't have anything to say. And then
you just said
something that is so profound.
Yeah.
Thanks for that reminder and that important statement.
Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another great, great Bible study. Thank you, Lord, for this group, for Jen, Eric, Lee, our newest member, Anna, Rebecca, and Sybil. And we thank you, Lord, for Gary, too, for leading us in this wonderful Bible study. Thank you, Lord, for opening up our minds so that we can see things that we never saw before and understand things that we never understood before. Thank you, God, for opening our minds. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, as we face another day tomorrow, I pray that you will guide us and protect us and keep us safe. Protect us from COVID-19, Lord, as much as you can. And I pray that we, going back to our normal lives, that we will be a real testimony to people. Thank you, God, for our health and the strength, Lord, that you give us every day, and all the blessings that you provided and the protection. There's so much to thank you for. I really, really, really appreciate all that you do for us every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good night, guys. Have a good night. Sorry that we ran so late today. But I thought it was just a nice conversation.
It was.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Okay, bye, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Harry. Thank you so very much again.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Becca.
Bye.
John Eric. Bye. Z.
Hey, the other Annas.
Bye.
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag, Sybil.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.